Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 to just let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sundays to just let it be. As we consciously come into communion, linking hearts and minds across the airwaves to deepen in our connection and communion with the Holy of Holies, the sacred, the ground of our being, God in us as us. And on this Mothering Sunday here in the UK, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all mothers, all mothering influencers, a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. For many of us, our mothers are no longer with us, but just because they are no here on the physical realm, it doesn't mean we can't remember them or celebrate them. And maybe you can honor them by cooking their favorite meal today and enjoying it in their memory, or blowing some bubbles and imagining they're carrying messages up into the heavens, or even listening to her favorite music, even if it might be a tad corny. We never lose the love that we have for those that we cherish. They are forever within our hearts. They're forever imprinted upon our souls. And so for all mothers, those here on this earth at this time and those that are in heaven, we are wishing a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. And so we are continuing with our deep dive into understanding the archetypes. These symbolic representations of the human qualities that exist in one degree or another in all of us. Whilst we are just examining 12, there are those that will say there are so much more. Today we are looking, number 8, the creator, also known as an artist, inventor, artisan, innovator, builder, designer, dreamer, various aspects. And it's very easy, and I know I'm very guilty of this, for thinking that because I wasn't particularly artistic, that I wasn't creative. And it is very easy to think, too, that you possibly don't have the creator archetype within you because you're not, or you don't consider yourself creative, but we all have this aspect. It might just be more prominent in others, but it's there. You see, the creator archetype is someone who is very expressive, they're imaginative, they come up with these original ideas, they enjoy inventing things and motivating others. They like the challenge of new opportunities to express themselves and advance new ideas. The creator archetype is one that will help create ideas for new businesses that will look at a piece of art or create a piece of art or write a novel. They're able to tap into their imagination and bring forth new ideas to life. They can give expression to what they are holding in consciousness, the visions that they're seeing. They can generate ideas to take even someone else's ideas that they might be stuck, take it forward. They can think of new ways to perform or do something. They can build or see different processes for doing something in a new way or a different way. The creator archetype is that energy, that vibration that helps us evolve and involve creativity in our lives. And it is an aspect that is in all the archetypes to a degree of one sort or another. It is the case that with the creator archetype, they're forever taking ideas and channeling them into new ways, and they're just open to new possibilities. They operate on a different wavelength or bandwidth to others, because you can look at something and see the possibility of, oh, I can do this or this or this with that. Their strengths is they are driven, and their creativity and their vision. They are motivated to keep wanting to do something, build something, or leave something behind that will make their mark. It is easy, as I said at the outset, to think you don't have the creator archetype. But as I said, we each do. It's something that, whilst you might not think of yourself as the creator in terms of expressing in things you do, whether it's creating a work of art or writing, you can be expressing that creator archetype by the way you dress, the way you cook, how you are attracted to someone, your appreciation of beauty. This archetype shows up in a myriad of ways. And we can see that when we think again, as I've shared all along, film or TV or playwrights, they embody the archetypes in the characters that they are creating, as well as companies in the brands and the things that they are also manufacturing. So when you think of, in films and things, you can think of Willy Wonka. Or when you think of fashion designers, you can think of someone like Alexander McQueen, or someone who expresses fashion like Iris Apfel. Or when you think of brands, you could think of like Lego or Apple or Swatch. When you think of musicians, you would think of Adele or Bjork or Mozart or Beethoven. These are the obvious creator type archetypes that we know about in film or music or branding. You see, because it is a part of the collective consciousness, it's always being used or being expressed in some shape or form. As I've shared from the get-go, the archetype is in the collective consciousness of humanity. And so when brands are creating a product and being innovative, they know that there's going to be a branch of society, a section of society that's going to gravitate to it. I'm sure we all know people who want the next latest Apple iPhone as it comes out hot off the press. Nothing is wrong with the existing one, but they just, that part of them wants the latest, the newest, the most innovative, whatever that's available. But as always, with everything, we know from our study of the 12 laws of the universe, if there is light, there will be dark. And the shadow side of the Creator is that there often will start multiple projects, but not completing or finishing any of them. They can be very taxing on other people because they're insensitive. They feel that what they're doing is best and has to be completed. They can like to play God, thinking that the end justifies the means. They can be obsessive. They can be very out of control with their anger. They can have prima donna behaviors. They can be obsessive, and their ego can be way out of whack. The archetypes in their shadow side can be so in their ego because they are so intense and focused in their belief and on their vision that it can blind them to the needs of others, the perspectives of others. And so, as always, once we are aware of the shadow side of the archetype, and if we can recognize it and see it in ourselves, we can start to make the adjustments that are necessary. I want to share with you a couple of quotes that I found that I think so support this. I love two quotes from George Benacher I want to share. One I shared yesterday: life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. The second one is, you use a glass mirror to see your face. You use works of art to see your soul. It is that every human has a unique perspective of our world, and we can all create and bring forth something original. And just as we can see our unique reflection in a mirror, we can express uniquely ourselves in a creative way. Sylvia Plath says, the worst enemy to creativity is self-doubt. I feel that one is sometimes most applicable to me, because I can often be plagued with self-doubt, whether what I'm doing is good enough, whether it has value, whether it is of any use to anyone. A creative mind is often riddled with self-doubt, questioning the nature of it, what it's producing and its creativity. And so, my beloveds, as we recognize that aspect of the Creator archetype within ourselves, as we can see both its light and both its shadow, we can do the work that is necessary. My poem is by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, entitled Creation. The impulse of all love is to create. God was so full of love, in his embrace, he clasped the empty nothingness of space. And lo, the solar system, high in state, the mighty sun sat, so supreme and great, with this same essence, one smile of its face, brought myriad forms of life forth, race on race, from insects up to men, through love, not hate. All that is grand in nature or in art sprang into being. He who would build sublime and lasting works to stand the test of time must inspiration draw from his full heart, And he who loveth widely, well and much, the secret holds of the true master touch. My sacred text is from Exodus 35:35. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of works as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them, skilled workers and designers. I used to have a shop, which seems many moons ago and many lifetimes. And I was always flattered when people would come and say they liked to pass by just to see the shop windows. And I would share with them that the inspiration was from the divine, because I was not trained to be a shop designer or a window dresser. But when you know, as Ella just shared in her beautiful poem, all that creativity and awareness and ability comes from our true source, the creator of our lives, the God in us as us. It is Women's History Month, and so I want to share two short stories about two incredible women. The first is Augusta Savage, she's American, born 1892 to 1962. She was a trailblazing sculptor associated with the Harlem Renaissance. Augusta Savage was also an influential teacher and activist, advocating for equal rights for African Americans in the arts. Born near Jacksonville, Florida, Savage moved to New York City in 1921 to study art at Cooper Union, beating out 142 men on the waiting list for her spot at the college. In 1923, Savage applied for a summer art program sponsored by the French government, but was ultimately rejected because of her race. Thus began her lifelong fight to democratize and equalize the arts. One of her first commissions, a bust of W.E.B. Du Bois for the Harlem Library, was well received, and Savage proceeded to sculpt other African American leaders, including Marcus Garvey and William Pickens Sr. In 1929, her sculpture of a child from Harlem, Gamin, earned her widespread recognition and helped her secure a scholarship to study at Académie de la Grande Chaumière, located in Paris, where she exhibited her work and won numerous awards. Savage returned to the United States in 1931 and launched the Savage Studio of Arts and Crafts, which became the Harlem Community Arts Center in 1932. 2 years later, she became the first African-American artist to be elected to the National Association of Women Painters and Sculptors. For the rest of her life, the artist continued to create groundbreaking work. She was one of four women to receive a commission from the 1939 World's Fair, and dedicated her time to teaching art to those around her. My second is Lenora Carrington. She was British-Mexican, born 1917 to 2011. She was an artist and novelist known for her surrealist work. Lenora Carrington was born in the United Kingdom and studied painting at the Chelsea School of Art, before transferring to the Ozenfant Academy of Fine Arts in London in 1936. That same year, she attended the International Surrealist Exhibition and was drawn to the work of the German painter Max Ernst. The next year, the two met at a party and kicked off a brief romance, living together in Paris until the outbreak of World War II. At which point Ernst was arrested by local authorities and forced to flee persecution. He escaped to the United States with the help of Peggy Guggenheim, whom he later married. Soon after the two split, Carrington was hospitalized with a mental breakdown and treated with powerful drugs. After her release, she fled to Mexico, where she became deeply inspired by local folklore, which factored heavily into her work. Her highly autobiographical paintings featured reference to sorcery, metamorphosis, the occult, and depicting fantastical creatures and haunting scenes. During the 70s, she became involved in the women's liberation movement and designed a poster titled Mujer Conciencia for the cause in 1973. In 1986, she won the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Women's Caucasus of her art convention in New York for her commitment to political work. I feel that Women's History Month is so important, and to recognize, acknowledge the trailblazers that went before us globally. As always, we share a part of what made them who they are in the collective consciousness of the female psyche. My science mind reading is entitled Divine Perception. My first quote is from Christian Larson, who says, therefore, to enter the cosmic state, the mind must be pure. That is, the mind must face the divinity that is in all things and must at all times keep the eye single upon the shining purity of that divinity. The second quote is from Ernest Holmes. There is a point in the supreme moment of realization where the individual merges with the universe, but not to the loss of his individuality, where a sense of the oneness of all life so enters his being that there is no sense of otherness. The author writes, Campbell Smith of Philadelphia, an individual with autism, could not stop painting. When his father, Lonnie, ran out of money for canvases, Smith turned to cardboard, building elaborate sculptures. Lonnie knew his son had a gift if he could only get others to recognize it. By chance, a well-connected neighbor saw Campbell in his front yard creating one of his sculptures. She shared photos on Facebook and then introduced him to an art curator who presented Campbell to the art world. Now his works are exhibited in prominent museums, galleries, and private collections, selling for thousands of dollars. Why did it take so long for Campbell Smith to be recognized as an artist? Because people weren't expecting a person with autism to demonstrate this talent. Autism is labeled as a disability, but it is an extreme ability. The Smith family calls people with autism autisarians with superhuman abilities. They set out to change people's perceptions by creating a nonprofit to help other people with autism discover their own gifts. Campbell's story provides an important lesson. The truth is, all of us come from the same divine source, but that source is individuated in each of us, expressing itself in vastly different ways. When we look at another, we can choose to first perceive the divine and then look for how it manifests through that person before us. When we look for the divine, there is never a misperception. My beloveds, the creator archetype expresses in all of us, in those we considered not abled, as well as those that are able. In fact, those we consider not abled, their perceptions are even more heightened in their creative abilities. if you haven't already. I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our reflective affirmative meditation this morning. As we go within, we take our attention away from the outer world and place it in the inner world. It is here in that inner world that we can truly access that creator archetype, the divine, the holy of holy, that is in all of us. As our first quote from Christian Larson said in The Science of Mind, we must keep thine eye single. So as we bring our attention to the breath, let us keep our eye single on that very simple act of inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion that we take for granted. We can go for days or weeks without food or water, but it's only moments we can survive without the breath. Just the brouhaha, that is the life-giving, energizing breath of God. So inhale, lower the diaphragm and extend the stomach. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. This morning's meditation is by Reverend James Peak, entitled Creating with Divine Mind. Affirm. I simply allow my breath to bring me present from this present place. I easily turn my attention to that place that resides deep in my being, that place that is ever present, my eternal home. From this place, I easily recognize and acknowledge there is one source, one mind, one love, one creative force. That force is God. God is the forever creating, intelligent, loving power of life. God is the source of all, the seen and the unseen, the known and the unknown. How good it is to be present to the truth. As there is only one life, one love, one universal body, I must be of the one life. God as spirit moves through my life and is always perfect in its creative unfoldment. There is no place, no thought, no feeling that can be outside of God. So there is no thought, no feeling, no circumstance that can separate me from God. I know and claim that I am an expression of a creative, perfect idea, born in the mind of God. I live my life as the incarnated spirit in the body of God. As God is for itself, God must be for me. Within, there is an intuitive voice, the eternal divine guidance of God. And it is available at all times. This guidance is the intelligence of God and manifests in my life as inspired, creative thoughts and actions. This evolution of thought is a constant upward spiral with love at its core. It is with a grateful and open heart that I give thanks for this opportunity to remember the truth. I'm grateful for the way life works, knowing each thought is a prayer answered, and the universal law is always working in perfect harmony with life itself. I simply release this prayer into the universal law. I have done nothing to change God. I have simply recognized and stated the truth that is always present. As such, I need do nothing except let go and let God. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as you allow this beautiful, reflective, affirmative meditation to resound within your being, to remind you of your connection to the creative power that is God in you. And as we enter into our circle of prayer, as always, you're invited to include anything or anyone in this circle of prayer. Our teacher said where two or three are gathered, there the Christ awareness, the Christ consciousness is. As we are consciously communing with the ground of being God in us, as us, God, the infinite God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, the omnipotent, the divine beloved, the absolute mystery that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. Mother, Father, God, thou who art beyond names and labels, Thou who art the creator of all that exists, from the tiniest molecule to the largest of galaxies and cosmos, whose spirit, whose energy, whose life force is the creative principle at work in and through each and every one of us. As we are in communion with you this morning, acknowledging the creative principle in our lives, that innovative, imaginative streak that expresses through us as we appreciate beauty, as we cook, as we write, as we draw, as we express, as we give expression to that side of our nature that is ever present, for your creative energy is always present. Let us honor that aspect of us as well as recognizing any shadow aspects that we may be harboring. And on this Mothering Sunday, we take a moment to remember all mothers, those that are here with us and those that are present with you. We are so grateful for that for which we take this day to acknowledge, the love, the care, the nurturing, all that our mothers sacrificed for us, for our upbringing, the mothering influences and the mothering figures, the grandmothers, those that adopted, for all the women that have nurtured and cared and loved and supported, whether they have the label mother or not. We honor them this Mothering Sunday. We celebrate them. We ask blessings upon blessings for their lives, for all that they have sacrificed in order to give us the best that they could. And we acknowledge that not all the time they got it right, but nevertheless, we celebrate and honor all mothers wherever they are, not only in this country at this time, but throughout the world. Whether they're celebrating today as Mothering Sunday or not, as it's Women's Month, and it's Mothering Sunday, I ask blessings upon all women. For they truly are an expression of the creative principle as they give life to each and every one of us. Mother, Father, God, there is so much happening across this world at this time. And it's very easy to become overwhelmed with it. But I remember the words of our teacher in Wesho, who said that we were to be in the world but not of the world. And as challenging as it may be, let us work on ourselves to be the peace, to be the light, to be the love, to be the acceptance, to be the oneness that we wish to see in our world. Let it begin with us, so that we can influence and radiate it out into the greater sphere. Mother, Father, God, cleanse our consciousness of any fears, worries, concerns, limitations that we may be holding or harboring. I'm very much reminded of the quote that we should keep our eyes single so that our body may be full of light. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, there is none like you in all the heavens and the earth, to which we are truly grateful. So it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our affirmations and Buddhist reflections, and I'll just unmute the phone. Repeat after me from our science of mind reading. I perceive.
I perceive
the divine in everyone.
The divine in everyone.
I meet. Allowing their gifts.
Allowing their gifts
to be revealed to me.
To be revealed to me.
Our Buddhist reflection. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I'm at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
They be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
They be free.
May they be free.
My prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, you live in my heart where no one sees you, but I do. That vision becomes this art. My beloved, my closing benediction. Beloved Mother, Father, God of all creation, we praise you every day for mothers. Thank you, Divine Beloved, for another Mother's Day that we may rise and call mothers of every race and background blessed and highly favored by you. Lord, there are no adequate words to thank you for mothers, all those who in a godly fashion gifted us with life, nurture, security, and well-being. We bless your holy name for mothers, grandmothers, godmothers, stepmothers, or anyone mother-like who sacrificially parented our lives into self-conscious awareness that we matter, are loved and valued. They dreamed of a world without barriers in which we might flower and grow into all of you, all you created us to be, until we could dream and fend for ourselves. They saw us through the eyes of love, created in your image, worthy of dignity and value you alone provide, capable of bringing greatness into the world. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we pray for your steadfast protection, health, and strength for all mothers today and every day. So, my beloveds, if you are celebrating with your mothers today, I wish you a very happy time. And my closing song is by the Winstons, entitled Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That was the Winstons' Happy Mother's Day. My beloveds, enjoy the celebration, and I look forward to joining you next Sunday for another edition of Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Until, peace and blessings.